This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
Good morning. This is Derek Haskins, Communications Director for the South Dakota Department of Health. Thank you for joining us for our daily COVID-19 case update call. I'm here with Dr. Josh Clayton, State Epidemiologist, and Kim Malsom-Reisden, Secretary of Health. I'll let Josh give our daily update, and then we will take your questions. Turn it over to Dr. Clayton.
Good morning. Today we are reporting 126 new cases of COVID-19 in the state. This does include 6 new hospitalizations as well as 2 new deaths. Both of those deaths occurred among Minnehaha County residents. We have 51 new individuals who have recovered from COVID-19 as well as 572 new negative tests that have been performed. In total, that brings our counts of COVID-19 cases to 2,905. Of those, 846 are active infections and 2,028 are recovered. In total, we've had 236 hospitalizations and 31 deaths, and a total of 17,209 negative tests have been performed. For the community impact map, we have new updates. The cases by county include 17 in Brown, 1 in Hughes, 1 in Lincoln, 101 in Minnehaha, 4 in Moody, and 2 in Union. For cases by age range, we have 27 in the 0 to 19 year age category, 11 in the 20 to 29 year age category, 30 in the 30 to 39 year age category, 24 in the 40 to 49 year age category, 20 in the 50 to 59 year age category, 9 in the 60 to 69 year, 8 in the 60 to 69 year age category, 4 in the 70 to 79 year age category, and 2 in the 80 and over category. For cases by sex, we have 73 that are male and 53 that are female. For the deaths by county, we have 2 in Beadle, 1 in Girald, 1 in McCook, 26 in Minnehaha, 1 in Pennington. For deaths by age range, we have 1 in the 40 to 49 year age category, 4 in the 50 to 59 year age category, 5 in the 60 to 69 year age category, 4 in the 70 to 79 year age category, and 17 in the 80 and older category. For deaths by sex, we have 16 individuals that are male and 15 that were female.
Thank you, Dr. Clayton. I'm going to unmute the lines and then we'll take your question.
Good morning, JP from KORN News Radio.
Go ahead, JP.
Thank you very much. Dr. Clayton, could you tell us how many of the new positive cases may have been tied to the mass testing that began earlier this week?
So we are reporting out that we have 126 new cases. We are not differentiating between the mass testing event from those that were tested as part of the normal testing collection that have been occurring in Minnehaha and Lincoln counties.
And if I may follow up, could you give us an update of how many more have recovered of the 853 from Smithfield that were tested?
We have 803 of the 853 Smithfield cases have recovered.
Thank you.
Yep.
Next question.
This is Joseph with the Capital Journal, please.
Here, the Capital Journal.
Yeah, good morning, y'all. Thank you. I was just wondering, can you do an update on the close contact numbers, too, please, Dr. Clayton? Thank you.
Certainly. We have 225 individuals that have recovered out of the 245 that are considered close contacts to those Smithfield cases.
Next question.
Hi, this is Jeremy Gutierrez from News Center One.
Go ahead, Jeremy.
Already, I was just wondering, more and more places are offering antibody tests, and where are these coming from, and what do the supplies look like that opposed to the actual COVID-19 test? And how can people tell if they're legitimate or not?
Well, so there is a lot of supply out there because there's a lot of difference in terms of how the specimens are collected. PCR-based testing or the molecular testing that has been the most common, that is a nasopharyngeal or a nasal swab that is collected on those individuals for testing. For antibody testing, it requires a blood draw, and so the blood tubes in which those specimens are collected, there's an ample supply of those for testing. The second part of the question.
How do they know the quality?
The quality. Thank you. And the quality relating to the antibody test is still something that is being evaluated. CDC is actively looking at this, helping to provide some insight into the different serology tests that are now available on the market, and helping to identify, really what do those antibody tests mean for overall level of protection from reinfection, either in the short term or in the long term. So it's really early to say that a single antibody test is informative. The ongoing recommendations are at this point that two different antibody tests need to be performed in order to even provide a single result. And so those two different antibody tests have to be on two different test types. They're two different serology tests. There's a lot out there that is still being worked through relating to serology and how that impacts overall antibody.
Next question.
Artie, and just a follow-up, I just have to wonder if they report that back to the state then when they find out their results?
We are requesting that all antibody-positive tests be reported to the South Dakota Department of Health, as well as those facilities that have the capability of submitting antibody-negative tests to the South Dakota Department of Health do so through electronic laboratory reporting directly into our system. So we are actively requesting and receiving those. But at this point, the utility of the tests is at the point that we are not reporting out that information at this point.
Next question.
Thank you.
Jackie Morgan at the Rapid City Journal.
Let's go with the Rapid City Journal.
Hi. Can you give an update on the hydroxychloroquine trial? How are the 270 participants doing so far? Have they all recovered?
Morgan, this is Kim Olson-Ryson. I would refer you to Stanford for more information about the status of individuals that are currently participating in the registry.
Okay. Well, I don't think Stanford knew this morning when I called, so I just wondered if you might know.
Again, you need to talk to Stanford.
Okay, thanks.
All right. I heard South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Thank you. I'm wondering if kind of a two-pronged question. First, if any of the rapid ID testing machines are in use yet, and also wondering if those are being used in relation to the mass testing site in Sioux Falls.
So the Abbott ID Now machines that are deployed across the state are in use, we are receiving those laboratory test results to the South Dakota Department of Health. What I can say is that the mass testing event is at such a large scale, and the Abbott ID Now machines are really designed for a little bit lower volume, so those have not been used for that mass testing event.
Thank you.
Next question.
Yep. This is Lisa.
I think I heard Lisa.
Yes, Lisa.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, we're not able to hear your question. We'll go to another question and then we'll try again.
Jeremy Kugelberg, Forum News Service.
Go ahead, Jeremy.
Hey, on the Smithfield, splitting out the Smithfield, the testing from the Smithfield mass event, is That sounds like that's something you're not doing. Is that something you can't do, can't provide as far as information, or is that a choice that you're making to not release that separate information to us right now?
So Jeremy, this is Kim Olson Rice, and the way we get the results on positive PCR tests is electronic, and so there's not a way to distinguish tests that come from the same reporting laboratory on the basis of a mass testing event versus at a clinic type level.
Okay, thanks.
Next question.
This is Hello?
Yes, you're breaking up pretty bad, so if you could get closer to your phone, that would be helpful.
All right.
I'm sorry, we can't hear your question. We're going to have to take another question.
Yeah, JP at KORN News Radio again. Could you tell us how many massive tests were performed in Sioux Falls on Wednesday?
The number, I don't have that directly in front of me. We'll try and
Hold on, we'll find it. Let's ask another question here.
We'll take another question while those folks are looking that number up for you, JP.
Thank you.
I just found it. We had just over 600 collected yesterday.
Thanks.
Right. Next question.
Maybe Lisa's got it.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. We can't get.
Maybe email Derek.
Feel free to email me your questions after the conference if you're not able to ask them. Go with one final question.
This is Stephen Grove from AP.
Go ahead, Stephen.
Can you give me any update on the clinical trial with Stanford? I think you said there's a meeting happening today to evaluate that or look at that.
Sorry, can you repeat that, Stephen?
Can you give an update on the clinical trial of hydroxychloroquine that's happening with Stanford? I believe that you had said there was a meeting with Stanford happening today to evaluate the trial or to see how it's going.
Yep. So, again, just to kind of reiterate, the hydroxychloroquine study has two parts to it. One is a registry study for positive patients that's going on right now. The other part is a clinical study that would look to see if hydroxychloroquine is helpful in terms of preventing COVID among people that have been exposed to it. That clinical study is going through the review process right now. We expect to have more information about it starting next week, and so I know there was some questions in the past from media around will the study end because of the FDA, the recent FDA guidance around this drug, and the safety profile of the drug is continuing to be reviewed, but with appropriate measures in place, it's felt that part of the study can and will be going forward. I would just note that there's over 170 studies happening both in the U.S. and internationally on hydroxychloroquine, including some that are looking to test a similar series as the South Dakota study.
And that would be looking at a preventive measure, is that right?
That's correct.
All right, thank you all for joining us this morning, and we will visit with you again tomorrow.